Welcome to Tips from the Server Room. This podcast is designed for all you systems admins, network specialists, or the guys and gals out there in the office who handles it all. Sit back, relax, grab a beverage, and enjoy Tips from the Server Room. Hey, welcome back, everybody, once again, all my friends out there, to Tips from the Server Room. This is episode number 56, and this is for June 29th, 2014. I'm your host, Jack. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please check us out at techpodcast.com for all those great tech shows out there. Folks, please check out my website if you have a chance to do so, and that is at tipsfromtheserverroom.com, where you can comment on these shows. You can also leave me a voicemail, and the voice message number is 724-701-0550. If you have any questions or ideas for future shows, and I wish that you would, I know there's a lot of you out there listening to this show. We've been watching the numbers go through the roof, and I truly do appreciate that. You can send me those ideas for future shows, or if you have any comments or questions, you can also send those into jackstechcorner@gmail.com, and you can follow me on Twitter as at Technoman. Folks, I want to first start off here just by talking to you just for a few minutes about what happened to last week's show. Because if you've been keeping up, and I know a lot of you have, thanks to everyone out there who emailed me this week and said, Jack, what happened? Is everything okay? Yes, everything is just fine. What actually happened last Tuesday night, when I normally record this show, was, well, let me back it up. Let's talk about Tuesday afternoon. Tuesday afternoon, I took my Ford F-150 pickup, and it was a year 2000, so it was 14 years old. Loved the truck. It was a great, great vehicle. I mean, we owned it for 10 years, and we bought it used with about 16,000 miles on it. And when we sold it, and when we just traded it, it only had 72,000 miles on it. 72,000 miles on a 14-year-old truck. Loved the truck. I took it to get it worked on, and what happened was, the guy called me and said, look, Jack, you probably don't want us to fix this gas tank. And I said, well, sure I do. You know, it's been smelling like gas for quite a while. And I said, I'd like to get it fixed because, you know, I want to be able to continue to drive this truck. He said, well, that would be okay if there was a frame under the truck. And I said, well, there is a frame. He said, well, it actually rusted apart to the point where there was no more supports on the cab. So where the cab actually hooks to the frame, I guess those supports are gone. He said, Jack, if you want to come up here and I'll show you the truck and show you what I'm talking about. I said, no, look, I trust you. I mean, you're my mechanic. I know computers. I don't know a thing about a truck. If you tell me it's no longer any good, then I'll take your word for it. He's not a car salesman or a dealer or anything. He's just a mechanic, you know, a very good one. So I took his word for it. So anyway, Tuesday night we went out, we started looking around for another vehicle. I wanted to get a new truck. Well, newer, something different, something with a frame would be a preference to me. So we started digging around and we did come up with a new truck. So when you start doing all that paperwork, now mind you, we went out at about 6 o'clock. This show normally goes off at 8. I know tonight's a little bit earlier, but I got some other stuff coming up later tonight. So I wanted to record this and get this out there to you. And I know most of you listen to it in your car anyway. So, you know, the podcasters out there, such as myself, such as many of the other podcasters out there, we live a normal life just like all of you out there commuting to work right now and listening to the show, where we have to have vehicles also. Now, I love my new truck. I think it's a wonderful truck. But, you know, when you did the paperwork and everything, by the time we get out of there, and I took my wife and we actually went to stop to get something to eat at a fast food restaurant because we wanted something really quick, it was almost 9 o'clock at night. And we did drive home in a new truck, and they did take the old truck, and, you know, we traded that off. We did that whole deal thing, and that was all done. But I had to leave the old red truck behind, finally, you know. And my wife, And I think it's a guy thing. It's a man thing. I don't know about how many women listen to this show, but I can tell you one thing. Guys, anyway, we get kind of emotionally attached to our trucks, to our vehicle. Maybe a lot of people do, because your vehicle is a big part of you. You're in it every day. It's a part of how you get to work, how you get home, how you go out to the movies, how maybe you take it out, you go out to dinner. It's a part of your life. And I know it's an inanimate object, and you know, it's not feeling bad. I don't have bad feelings for leaving it behind. Like, you know, I didn't leave it its baby blanket or anything. But anyway, it's a truck. So anyway, we got a new truck and we drove it home. So that's the basis of the story. And that is what happened. When I got home at 10, I told my wife, I said, you know, I really want to record tips in the server room. I said, but man, I just didn't have it in me to put the research together to put the show off. So I said, you know what? I was going to record it Wednesday, and then stuff came out Wednesday and Thursday. And you know how every day goes. And it just keeps on moving. One thing I could tell you before we move on here about new vehicles, folks, if you get a chance to get a newer vehicle today, the one thing I do really, really like about it is the electronics. Now, there's a couple things I want. If you're a programmer out there, you may want to invent this. This is a great invention. I'm going to give it away right now. I believe when you open your vehicle's door in the morning, it should welcome you. It should say, good morning, Jack. Are you ready to go to work? And when I say yes, the vehicle should just start. I shouldn't need a key. I shouldn't need to turn something. I shouldn't need to push a button. It should just know that I'm ready to go to work. It's that time in the morning. I mean, come on, folks. We have maps on our cell phones. I mean, I got that Google Talk or something on my iPhone. It can actually tell me how long it's going to take me to get home. It can beep and remind me every day what time quitting time is at work. Not that, you know, we don't know when quitting time is. A lot of people may not know when start time is because they may get there late, but we never really seem to leave late from work, right? Not ordinarily. Unless you're a technology nerd like us, right? Technology expert. Somebody sitting in a server room going, well, I really got to get these hard drives set up. I really got to get this server reconfigured. And we understand about late nights. But the electronics is, they are pretty amazing. When I can jump in, it's got Bluetooth sync like my wife's car has. She's had this car now for a couple years, and it had it. But my old Ford truck just had, you know, the good old AM/FM cassette, AM/FM cassette CD in it. And, you know, it was what it was, and that was fine. But it's just nice to be able to get in with that Bluetooth connect. I can play my my podcasts right through my radio on the way to work, and it's just a really cool thing. To be able to do that. The only thing I found out with the Dodge vehicle, now my wife has a CRV, a Honda. You get in her car, it takes just a few seconds to sync your phone to it. I mean, for the phone to auto sync to the Bluetooth. For some reason, maybe somebody can answer it listening to the show. In the Dodge, when I get in my truck, it takes, at least until I get to the bottom of the hill. So it can take anywhere from, let's say 5 minutes. Let's push 5 minutes out there. I think that is horrible. It's horrible because, you know, I can't just hit the podcast and go. I got to start the podcast on the way, and it's just, that's horrible. It should sync up immediately as far as I see. So that is what happened to us last Tuesday night. And, you know, so we got the truck. It does have the XM radio in it right now. So, well, I say right now, it's not that I'm going to take the XM radio out, I may not pay for it after a year because, you know, XM and Sirius radio cost you. And I know you can get deals. I know my sister argues with them every 6 months, and she pays about $30 every 6 months for her car. That's a pretty good deal, especially when they want like $100 every 6 months. And, you know, but if you just tell them, the secret is if you have Sirius radio, Sirius, is that right, Sirius? Whatever, XM, satellite radio. If you have that radio system, any of those, and you're going to get to the end of your contract, here's a trick for you. First is don't have auto billing. Turn that auto credit thing off. You don't want them to hit your credit card. It happened to me once, and it takes an act of Congress to get that taken off your bill. They are good about it. They will take it off. But no, you want it so you have to call them each time, or they have to call you and say, hey, we'd like to get your credit card information. You say, oh, great, but, you know, I'm thinking of canceling that. As soon as you say cancel, the price starts dropping by $10 to $20 every time the word cancel comes out of your mouth until they hit a point that they're going to keep you. I suggest when they hit $20 or $30 for 6 months, You nail it and keep it. And that is how you play their game. All right. Now that you know where I was, now that you know what I did, let's get on with tonight's show. Now, tonight I'm going to start off here to talk to you a little bit about a flaw that's in Active Directory. Now, I want to begin this show, and this came from a Twitter message, and I'd like to thank War Dog Computer. So if you're not following this gentleman, I suggest you follow him on Twitter. It's at War, WARDOGCOMPUTER, War Dog Computer. And I want to thank, and the gentleman's name is Dick. I want to thank Dick for sending me this information, and I'm going to go ahead and share that with the audience now. So he sent me the information about a flaw in Active Directory. Now, I know we all use it, and we love it, and it makes our life easier to manage our users and computers. But as you will hear in the next few minutes, there is, seems to be a security issue. Now, alt, it's O-R-A-T-O, it's A-O-R-A-T-O, identified a new threatening flaw within Active Directory that enables attackers to change a victim's password. Despite current security and identity theft protection measures. With 95% of the Fortune 1000 companies deploying Active Directory, the potential for this particular vulnerability to cause harm and theft is very high. Let's back up here. 95% out of the top Fortune 1000 companies are using Active Directory. Now, that is why Microsoft is so rich, right? And you can't blame these people out there. We are a Active Directory society. And I know I got a lot of Linux listeners out there, and I listen to a lot of Linux shows. There's one in particular, they're very good. It's called the Linux Action Show. I don't know if they're on the Tech Podcast Network, and if they're not, I think they should be. So if somebody from the Tech Podcast Network might want to email them, it's called the Linux Action Show. And these guys are amazing with Linux. I tried to set up a Linux distro before to use it as an authentication or a Radius type server where it would actually authenticate all of our users on our network. But folks, I'm an old Windows soul, just like many of you out there were old Windows souls. And we use Active Directory because we came up through the ranks of the NT in the 2000 and 2000, you know, 2008, now, you know, 2012 servers. And Active Directory is just in our blood, right? We know how to manage it. We know how to configure it. We know how to design it so it's very usable, manageable, and very organized. That's the whole thing. That's the whole thing behind the OU, right? The organizational unit. So we can organize our Active Directory. But there's a flaw. And let's move on. Once the attacker leverages this Active Directory flaw using a new password, the attacker can impersonate the victim to access various enterprise services and content, which require the explicit use of the victim's credentials, such as remote desktop connection and login to Outlook web access. So if they know you're running Outlook web access, which isn't hard to figure out with the company, right? If you have their homepage, their domain page, or their web page, it's not usually too hard to figure out where that Outlook web access is. Myself, I like to even make it easier for my users and probably the attackers out there when I set these up. I go into DNS and I like to create a forwarding address or a CNAME. And when I create the CNAME, I like to make them something like email.yourdomainname.com.org, whatever it is. Or I like to make it like outlook.yourdomainname.com, whatever. That gives it really, really easy way for your users to find it. They can remember that. And if an attacker knows that and they have this exploit running, sure enough, they can get into the person's email. RDP, Remote Desktop Protocol, We talked about this a few weeks ago. I teach this in my online courses, and we go over RDP. Some people have a hard time logging into it initially, but believe me, the hackers will not have a hard time getting in. Here's one thing to think about. We're going to back up just for 1 minute. I'm going to touch base on these at the end also, but one thing when I read this stuff and I think about this is we have to make sure that our users only have access to what they require to do their job. If you are one of these people that give a user full admin privileges to their workstation, well, bless you. I know we want to be good guys. We want them to use their screensavers and put their pretty pictures of their dogs and their kids as the wallpaper, but we have something much greater at risk. And folks, that's the security of the network. Even if we trust, this is showing you, even if you trust that user and somebody gets their password, you don't know who that person is. So now we're, you know, you have to tell the user, hey, look, Sally, we trust you. We know you're in payroll and we think you're a wonderful person. Well, we'll give you admin privileges to the server and you know, let you do what you got to do and do your work, you know, and you can access this and that. But wonder if somebody gets Sally's password. What's going to happen at that point, if somebody does, in fact, get Sally's password, they'll have access to everything that you were so kind and so nice enough to give Sally. So you see why security is such a major role in our jobs, right? It's not the person that we are trusting to use it. We have to worry about if the person gets that person's password. Now, unfortunately, despite current security protocols, logged on events miss the vital indication of an identity theft attack. The attacker can perform this activity unbeknownst to the event logs, making log-based SIEMS and big data security analysis useless against this kind of advanced attacks. This is why, because what's going to happen is if you see Sally logging on at 3 a.m., you're going to think it's Sally logging on at 3 a.m. How are you going to tell that somebody changed that password? You can't. It's not going to tell you that. So using these programs to do all this great analysis and do all this security risk assessments, you're not going to see it. So, and how do we know that Sally is, you know, now, obviously, here's something to think about. Whenever you talk about, and we've talked about this at work many times, if I change Johnny Walker's password and I take over Johnny Walker's account as an administrator, and you may have done this. A lot of times when somebody leaves your company, you'll take over their account just in case there's anything in there that the next person taking that job would need. So here's what you're going to do. And kind of here is how it kind of works. So if, in fact, you take over somebody's account, you change your password, when that person comes back in, it's going to say password not accepted, password not accepted, password not accepted. You're going to have to go explain to that person why you changed their password. So if they get attacked, if somebody calls you and says, hey, my password worked fine yesterday, it did not work today. The first question we ask all of our users is, have you been being notified for the past 30 days that your password's going to expire? Oh, yeah, I click yes, no, 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 I don't want to change it, no, no, no. And then time runs out and it just locks them out, right? So that is the way Active Directory security works. But on the other hand, what we got to think about here is if they didn't see that message at all, you're going to have to suspect that maybe somebody attacked their account. At that point, immediately suspend that account on your server. Create a different account for that user and give that user different credentials, at least for the time being, to get them started back to work and really dig and find out what that user account was doing on your network, because it may have been actually hacked, identity theft or stolen. And, you know, they might have been doing something you don't want them to do. So immediately disable that account. Now, high-level anatomy of an attack. The attacker uses a publicly available free penetration tool, a testing tool, such as WCE or Minikatz. Anybody ever hear of that? It's M-I-M-I-K-A-T-Z. that steals an authentication component named NTLM hash. We've all heard of that, right? From the employee's device. The NTLM hash resides by default on all devices that connect to the enterprise resources. Folks, this is huge on laptops. On laptops, we tell our users, if you're taking a laptop out of the building, if you're taking a laptop out of your office, you must log into it. You're going to log into that computer with your credentials so it knows who you are, and then it's going to hash. It's going to save those credentials. It's going to cache those credentials in its memory, and this is what it's doing. It's putting this NTLM hash file onto the computer itself, on the device. Now, since this authentication component is known to be a security hazard, which leads to identity theft attacks, through the notorious pass the hash, PTH attack, protections have been placed to prevent its misuse. For example, many enterprises try to limit the use of Active Directory's older, yet still enabled by default, authentication protocol, NTLM. In other scenarios, enterprises log and audit the NTLM activity. I would suggest you do this. In your log files, go in your logs and enable the NTLM activity. So if you have suspicion, and folks, I know you're probably much like we are in our organization, where you have one or two people running the entire network. You may have 9-10 servers running, such as we do. You may have 700-800 devices and nodes out there. You can't sit and look at this every day. There's just not enough time to do that. But if you feel you've been compromised at any time, at least then we have an audit, an NTLM activity audit log that we can go back to, and we can look at this thing. That is the key to success in network security. You may not catch it happening, but if you can actually catch it later and find out when it happened, where it happened, maybe you can drill it down, because sometimes, maybe even 50% out of 100, might be a little higher, this could be somebody in your own domain, in your own network, that is actually hacking your network. And sometimes it's just a user simply wanting more access, you know, thinking that, hey, Sally has more than I do, and I want to be like Sally. So they'll hack her account, take her identity, and then they can have access to the whole network. Now, the attacker forces the client to authenticate to Active Directory using a weaker encryption protocol. At this stage, the attacker uses the Active Directory flaw, where the encryption protocol relies on the HTLM hash. So all they're doing is using a different protocol, and they're able to get into that HTLM hash. The activity is not logged in the system and third-party logs, even though that specialty log, the NTLM activity, as a result, no alerts or forensic data is ever indicated that the attack has taken place. So this is going to be a hard one. This is going to be a tough one for you to figure out, but so be very careful. The attacker provides its so-called legitimate identity to Active Directory using the weaker authentication protocol. Consequently, the attacker is unable to authenticate themselves to the restricted service and change the password of the victim. So it just, they just reset the password. You don't need somebody's password if you have the ability to reset it, right? The attacker uses the changed password to fully steal the identity of the victim and access all the victim's enterprise resources. Back that up for 1 minute. Now remember, all of the enterprise's resources. Be very careful again on what you're giving the users. We tend to want to map things out. We say, look, if you're part of the finance department, you must have da, 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 whatever that is. If you're a member of the HR department, you must have boom, 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 whatever that is. And what tends to happen there, if you do that, you can actually keep your resources more contained. Millions of businesses are blindly using Active Directory as a foundation to their overall IT infrastructure. And that's true. We've been doing it for years and years. Everybody does it. The unfortunate truth is that this trust is naively misplaced, leaving the vast majority of the Fortune 500 enterprises and employees susceptible to a breach of personal and company data. Until enterprises acknowledge and in the inherent risks associated with relying on Active Directory and build a strategy to mitigate the risks, we will continue to see attacks walking off with valuable information undetected. You see that last part there? Build a strategy with mitigated risks, minimum, with the smallest risks possible, is what we're trying to do here. And again, if you keep it simple, remember the KISS protocol? We learned that in the military years ago. When I was a very young man, they'd always tell us, KISS, soldier, KISS. And you're like, KISS what? What am I kissing? No, keep it simple, stupid. Now, I'm not calling anybody dumb by any means, but if you KISS it, K-I-S-S, keep it simple, stupid. So basically, keep it as dumbed down as you possibly can and as simplistic as you can. It's easier to manage because then we don't have to worry about Sally having, you know, access to not only the personnel, you know, maybe she's in payroll. She has access to personnel, HR data. She has access to all the social security numbers of everybody in the company. If you work for the CIA, the FBI, they may have access to all of your undercover agents or who knows. And if somebody uses their credentials and takes their username and slaps a new password on it, they have access to what they don't need access to. It's bad enough they're going to be looking at the payroll knowing that you, the IT specialist out there, you know, you're in your company, you're probably making, you know, $80,000 a year. Now they know that. The attacker knows what you're making. So if somebody's in the company and they're trying to say, wonder what, you know, Joe Franklin's making. They can see how much money you're making. So you want to keep this stuff as secure as possible. Now, with no inherent solution to migrate or mitigate this fall, they recommend that you detect authentication protocol anomalies. Now, this is hard to do, but take some time reading your log files and, you know, check the protocols and make sure you're getting a good idea of who's logging on your network and what they're doing. Sometimes when we do have time, and it's not, it's a rarity to have time when you're a network administrator, but when you do have time, you can go into your, let's say your file server, and a lot of times we'll go in and you can see what active files are being opened by each user. And just take a quick look and say, yeah, Sally needs to be in the payroll folder. But if Sally's logged in and it sees that she has actively opened the HR folder, you may want to go question her and say, why were you in HR? What was you doing in there? Now, identify the attack by collating the abnormal use of encryption methods with the context in which the victim's identity is used. And apply measures to reduce the attack surface. Note that all measures only reduce the attack surface and do not eliminate it altogether or solve the root cause. Now, we're going to jump in here, and I'm just going to go through a couple of my thoughts because, you know, each week I kind of have a few thoughts. That's kind of why I created this podcast, to try to help everybody else out there with this stuff and kind of put it into layman's terms so we all can dig in and understand it. And I hope that you out there listening, yeah, you just looked up and said, me? Yes, I hope you will be listening to this and say, look, I'm going to give Jack some ideas about what we did maybe to make this more secure, to make Active Directory a little bit tighter. And I'm going to give you some of my thoughts right now. First, make sure you have a firewall. Make sure your firewall is tight and secure. If we secure our networks from the outside world, This will minimize the possibility of attacks from the outside world in. We do have, well, we use our systems. We use Google Apps. I've talked to you about that in the past. It's nothing to hide. I think it's a wonderful solution for email. They have more servers and backup servers than I could ever afford in my network that my budgets would ever allow me to touch. Besides, they have more locations. They own more areas than I own, so they can put these all over the place. We have a couple, you know, kind of quote-unquote intranet sites, right? Sites that we run that our users come through the internet and get to. I make sure it's minimized access, the minimum amount of access, so I have port 80 coming into that machine where the web page will come up. They can log in and do what they want to from home or from the office location. Don't leave all your ports open. Folks, we talked about this a few weeks ago. Get those firewall configuration files, print them off, read them. If you don't know what something is hooked to, if you don't know what static something is going to, let's say you have an outside static to an inside static and you have port 25, port 85, port 200. If you don't know why you still have that, delete it out. Take that line out and see what happens. Because remember, the least amount of ports we have open, the more secure our network is. That is one thing that I do in my network, because I'm not one of these people. We talked a while ago about being I don't like using the one word, so we'll call it a network pirate. I don't want to be that guy, that all the controlling guy. My firewall is something that I control because I'm responsible for security. It stops at the technology director or network administrator. That's your job. I don't allow anybody else to touch that firewall. So if I'm in there looking and I'm like, why is this port 200 open or whatever, I just delete it. And then I let the chips fall to see what happens on my network. If something obviously gets blocked, then maybe I need to reopen that. But if you take it out and you don't, if you're not using, I don't know what firewalls you're using, but if you're using a Cisco, and if you take that line out and you don't do an RWMEM, if you don't write that to memory, then you can test it and see what's going to do before you commit that to memory. That's what's so nice about the command line in the Cisco firewall. Second, make time once a week to watch your server logs. Keep track of the users for any type of abnormal activity. We talked about that already. Again, I can't stress enough to look at those service logs. I know most of us normally don't because there's just not enough time. And it's probably what they said at Target when all those credit card numbers got stolen. It's probably what they said. I don't know if you, in our part of the world here in the States, we have a place called American Eagle Outfitters. They got hit once. All their credit card information was stolen. You know, but a lot of these companies want one guy sitting at the head of their network. You know, and that one guy might be running 20 stores, 30 stores, I don't know, and driving all over the place. And then all of a sudden something like this happens. What do they do? Fire the network administrator, get rid of him, not doing his job. If you don't have somebody to allow them to allot them time to work on these servers, keep track of log files, compare logs, compare usages, how do you ever know what's normal or what's abnormal if you don't know what's normal, right? I think we talked about that in one of the shows when we talked about logs. If you don't run a normal log every now and then and you get an abnormal one, you won't know it's abnormal because you've never seen a normal one. Time is of the essence. And I know if you guys are anything like me, when you sit in that server room and you're working on a server, I know what happens. People do not think that you're doing your job because people think that our job should be out there. And hey, if he's not, if he don't have his head stuck in a computer, if he's not typing on a keyboard, in an office, he must not be doing his job. Why is he in the office? Why is he in the server room? He must be reading newspapers, you know, with his feet up and maybe taking a nap. Now we know that's not true, but how do we get that part of our job to our bosses? That's a question for you for next week. And I want to hear from you out there. How do you stress to your boss? Look, we have to keep the back end running so the front end people can keep doing their job. If that back end breaks, we're screwed and the front end people can't work. But if nobody's to monitor the back end, then, you know, remember that if nobody monitors the store, people will come in and rob you blind. Same way here, but we work with a cyber store. Worldwide data shoplifters, folks. You have to be able to tend the store, tend the storefront. Now, I know that we do our very best to protect and secure our networks. And I once told a CEO of a company that I worked for, locks are made to keep honest people out. There could always be a possible break-in. This is why good, not great, not to be great, this is why good tech directors will spend at least one day a week spending time in their server rooms. Again, I can't stress it enough. I just can't stress this enough, folks. I just can't. And I get in this bind with my work, and I've been getting in this bind all the time. Why are you sitting in the server room? You must be taking a nap. You must be watching Netflix movies. Are you watching Hulu in there? What's wrong with you? Folks, let it go. Go over and hit the power button on your server and be like, oh, shit, something happened. Guess what? I was out here working on your computer, changing a monitor. Server broke down. Nothing goes then. Everybody goes down. Right? So that's a little stress going out there to you folks. I'm sorry about that tonight. But anyway, that is the truth. We have to be able to maintain everything in our networks. And it's hard. It gets very stressful for everybody out there. I love my job. I've been doing this for the better part of 27 years, and I still love doing it every day. You know, and I love it in the trenches. I love being out, you know, working in that side of it. I love the server side of it. I love software. I love hardware. But I just don't know, even after 27 years of working with multiple people, all right, not when I have my own business partner, he understood it, but working with multiple people, they don't understand servers. They don't know why we need to watch the servers. They don't know why we need to maintain the servers, right? The servers don't maintain themselves. Somebody's got to feed the guinea pig to keep the wheel turning. That's the way life is. Anyway. So much for that. But folks, keep watching your log files. I think you'll be very, very happy that you did. And, that's how you're going to ever find something that's abnormal, if you only know what something normal looks like. All right. Now that I'm off my soapbox, done preaching at you, hopefully I got you thinking a little bit. And I do want you to email me and tell me, how do you get through to your boss? How do you tell your boss about that server? Maybe you are the server administrator. Maybe you just stay in there and bless you if you have that job. You better kiss it and pray that you can keep that job forever. Because so many people now don't want somebody maintaining servers. They want us going out and they want us working on the workstations that people use. People don't use servers. Of course not. Folks, thank you so much for joining me here tonight. Again, I'm very, very sorry that I didn't have a show last week. But, you know, life does pop its head up. It rears its head up every now and then, and we have to maintain life around podcasting. I was asked next week, I'm going to be doing I'm going to be interviewed or co-hosting, interviewing, I don't know, a show called Podnuts. Is that correct? I think that's correct. I hope I pronounced that right. If not, I'm going to get really yelled at there. I'm going to just double check it here as I'm talking to you. But folks, I also want you to use my Amazon link. I want you to please do that. Use the Amazon link, and it's not called Podnuts. Where did I get Podnuts? I think they're hosted on Podnuts, but the actual show, and this show, I've been listening to this show, and if you guys aren't listening to this show, it's a really good show. It is on Podnuts. It's podnutz.com/geeksters, GEEKSTERS. Next Tuesday, I was asked by Martin. Martin is actually the host of the show, one of the hosts. They have a couple co-hosts, but Martin asked me if I would be interviewed or something on that show, and I did say yes. I would be honored to do that, and that is going to be next Tuesday. Apparently, he does this live. If we can get the link before then from Martin, from the Geeksters, I will definitely put a link somewhere on the webpage. You can go in there and watch it live when we're talking. If not, you can always listen to their podcast. It's a great podcast. Again, it's all tech. and it's wonderful. I listen to it every week, and I've been very, very impressed with it. But I will be talking to them, folks, and I really can't wait. I'm honored to have been asked, and I just can't wait. It's going to be next Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I believe he told me it's 3:30 p.m. Central Time is where they're located. Or Central? I think it's Central. Maybe, no. Anyway, you'll get it. Anyway, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I do know that, so check that out. Get back to my show notes here, and we will close this up. Please remember, folks, if you have a chance, if you buy anything from Amazon, and I know all podcasters ask you this, so share the love. Spread the money around a little bit. Help all the podcasters out there and, you know, help this show. If you buy anything, use my Amazon link. You can find it at tipsfromtheserveroom.com. Please deactivate your screen, your screensavers. Deactivate your ad blockers first, and then you'll see the Amazon link. If you want to learn more about Windows Server 2008, Windows Server 2012, or VMware ESXi Server from A to Z, install to administration, please sign for one of my online courses at tipsfromtheserveroom.com. Look for the online class link at the top of the page. And the courses are self-paced. Watch a video and take a short quiz. Once you complete the course, I'll mail you a certificate. Please sign up today at tipsfromtheserveroom.com. And folks, please don't let the price fool you. I do this full-time, and people say, Jack, your prices aren't high enough. They should be $1,000. They should be $2,000. They should be $22,000. I said, look, honestly, I'm trying to pay it forward and make it as inexpensive as I can so everybody out there can gain this knowledge that I have. I just want to share the knowledge, and that also reflects on all my YouTube videos. Check out 42 Technoman for more server videos. You'll find those out there. Search around for those. Again, that's number 4, number 2, Technoman. Folks, until next week, I hope you have a great work week if that's at all possible. You know, keep those servers winning. Keep those servers winning. Woo! Keep those servers running. Keep checking your network logs, and you'll have a winning solution for all your end users. Folks, I'll talk to you next Tuesday night, and don't forget to check out Geeksters. Should be a really, really good time. I'm really, really happy to do it, and I can't wait. Take care, my friends, and I'll see you next week on Tips from the Server Room. Bye for now. You just listened to Tips from the Server Room with your host, Jack. If you have any questions, please drop me a comment at tipsfromtheserveroom.com. Thanks again for tuning in and downloading the shows. Now sit back, relax, and listen to the remainder of the music. We'll see you next week on Tips from the Server Room. So long.